Okay, I'll get you to shout out on the count of three, all right? So here's one, okay? Here's a tub from Sainsbury's. Anyone on the count of three who wants to shout out what they think you might expect to find in this tub? Three, two, one. Chocolate, yeah, okay. Rocky Road in particular, marshmallows. Oh, it's too good, isn't it? Okay, so that's what we might expect to find in there. Okay, what else have we got here? Oh, this is exciting. I love these. Okay, right. What would you expect to find in here? Okay, hold it. Hold fire. Count of three. Okay, three, two, one. Mini eggs, chocolate, whatever you shouted in that vein, you are correct. Okay, that's what you'd expect to find in here, isn't it? Okay, right, good. What else? Oh, hang on. I wonder if anyone else has seen one of these this morning. Okay, right, here we go. Give you a moment just to take it in. There we go. It's a glorious thing, isn't it? Okay, count of three. Three, two, one. Yes, chocolate. Absolutely. Okay, you can sense a theme here. Okay, we're going to break slightly with the theme for this last one. Only slightly, though. Okay, here we go. Now, this is a very posh tin. Okay, from a company called Biscuitiers. Okay, now anyone think they might know? Okay, this is little clue for those who've been listening carefully. Okay, right, on the count of three. Three, two, one. Biscuits, maybe chocolate, maybe not. Posh biscuits, really nice. Okay, right, so that is what we might expect to find in each of these things. But sometimes what we actually find inside is unexpected, isn't it? For example, in this tin, which you this tub that you might expect to find lovely Rocky Road in, it's also a really good tin for storing your salad in, okay? It's really good for storing your salad. You can pop it in there. You can take it to work, put it in the fridge. It's brilliant. Okay. Mini egg bag, okay? You might find, as I thought I was, that you're clever by trying to hide your pound coins in your mini egg bag so that no one knows where they are. Problem is, everyone likes mini eggs, so they find your pound coins anyway, okay? But that's not what you'd expect to find in the bag, is it? You wouldn't expect to find a load of pound coins in there, okay? How about this? Gets more contrived as we go through. What have we got here in this Easter egg box? Well, let's have a look, shall we? It looks so promising. We dig our hand in. Foil wrapper comes out. It's looking so good, isn't it? It looks so good. And depending on your outlook, maybe it is. We've got a football. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, a few cheers, a few sort of groans of disappointment there. Okay. And of course, in our posh biscuit tin, what would you keep in your posh biscuit tin apart from your Hebrew vocab cards? Yeah, that's right. What a crushing disappointment. Now, here's the thing. All of those things had something unexpected inside, didn't they? Okay, all of them had something unexpected inside. The question is, was the surprise a good surprise or not such a good surprise? Well, Susan is emphatic. None of those were a good surprise for her. I guess it depends on your outlook, doesn't it? I guess if you've come to the tub looking for a sweet treat, the salad is probably going to be pretty disappointing, isn't it? Let's be honest. However, if you've come to the bag of mini eggs to find it's full of pound coins, you might think, okay, well, delayed gratification. Like, I can probably get about 20 bags of those for the pound coins that are in there. So maybe that's not such a bad thing. I guess this one depends on what you think about ball sports. That's like, you know, that's over to you. Yeah. Don't think anyone's getting excited about that one. Well, today we are going to hear about three of Jesus' really good friends who went to visit his grave. Okay, they went to visit his grave. They'd seen him die on Friday. They knew exactly where he had been buried. But when they went to visit, they did not find what they expected. They found something completely different. In a moment, Caleb's going to come up and give us the reading. And we're, has the code's disappeared. Do you want the code again? Would that be okay? If you use Microsoft Translate, the code is W for whiskey, C for Charlie, and don't start that again, C for Charlie, P for Papa, D for Delta, and L for Lima, okay? That's W, C, P, D, L. Okay, there we go. And hopefully that'll come up on the screen in just a moment. Now, Caleb's going to come up in a second and bring us the first part of our reading. But as he comes up, let's just try and get our minds in the right space for this, shall we? I want you to picture this. It is Sunday morning. It is so early that it is still dark. And Mary Magdalene is about to head over to Jesus' grave. Now, listen carefully. Children in particular, I'm going to ask you, after the reading, what do you think Mary is expecting to find? Caleb, thanks so much for giving us our first reading. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's also actually John chapter 20, the one with the resurrection. We're doing well. Thanks, Adju. Okay, John chapter 20. Caleb, take it away.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
Okay, thank you, Caleb. That's brilliant. Right. Okay, children. Hands up if you fancy giving us an answer. What do you think Mary was expecting to find when she got to Jesus's tomb? Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit grim, isn't it? But it's true. She was expecting to find Jesus's dead body. But she got a surprise, didn't she? Just change tack for a moment slightly. Let me ask you, some things are easily lost, aren't they? Okay, quick show of hands. If you have ever lost your phone, okay, be brave. Yeah, oh wow, okay. That's a lot of missing phones. Okay, quick show of hands if you've ever lost your shoes or a shoe. Yeah, okay. Quick show of hands, children, if you've ever lost one of your toys. Yeah, okay, yeah, that happens, doesn't it? Keys, anyone? Keys? Yeah, been there, nightmare. Okay, this one I expect to see every hand because I used to be a teacher. Put your hand up if you have ever lost your school jumper. Yeah, I know how it works. And of course, the one that always gets lost, water bottle. Yeah, always the water bottle. Okay, last one, be honest. Put your hand up if you've lost something in the past week. Thank you for your honesty. Well done. Okay, some things are really easily lost, aren't they? Okay, there are lots of things it's easy to lose. Dead bodies are not one of them. Okay, especially once they've been buried. All right, it's a bit gross, I know, but it's true, isn't it? They're not easily lost. And yet, that's what seems to have happened to Mary on this first Easter. Did you hear what she said? She got back, she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Jesus' body is missing. It's been lost as far as Mary can tell. She found something that she didn't expect that first Easter. She thought someone had taken Jesus' body and it made her scared and it made her sad. That seems, doesn't it, like a terrible surprise. Worse even than Hebrew cards in your biscuit box. But we are going to follow Mary's story, and we are going to see that we have nothing to worry about. Because what seemed at first to be a terrible surprise turned out to be a wonderful surprise. We're going to think about that more in a moment, but our musicians are going to come up and lead us. We're going to sing a song now to encourage some of the younger people in our congregation this morning. We had an unexpected surprise when she went to the tomb of Jesus, but we're going to have a little bit more of the story now, and Alithia is going to come up and read that to us. So if you've closed your Bibles, you may want to open them back up to John chapter 20, or you may want to just listen along. Alithia, thank you so much. That's great. It is John chapter 20. We haven't jumped back to 10. Okay. Yep.
This reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 3 to 10, on page 1089. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Thank you very much, Olivia. Right. There is a lot of running around in that story, isn't there? Lots of going backwards and forwards. And so to help us kind of work our way through it, I've got a few volunteers who are going to come up and help us set the scene. Thank you, guys. You might think it's Deb. It's actually Mary Magdalene. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, it all started, didn't it, with Mary leaving home early in the morning, while it was still dark. She went to the tomb and she found that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now that was not what she expected. She was shocked. So she ran back home. And when she got there, she told Peter and John,
"They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and John raced to the tomb. John won the race. And I don't know about you, but don't you love the fact that this is John's gospel and he makes sure that you know he's the one who won the race? I think that's genius. Okay, I don't even know if he told Peter it was a race. Anyway, when they got to the tomb, John didn't go in, but Peter did. And what did he see? He saw the empty tomb. He saw that the stone had been rolled away. He saw the grave clothes. After Peter had looked, John looked too. And he saw the same things, the empty tomb, the stone that had been rolled away, the grave clothes. And John believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter didn't yet believe, and neither did Mary, which is a good reminder, isn't it, that not everyone believes at the same time or on the basis of the same evidence. The Holy Spirit shows some of us the truth in different ways and at different times. But here's the key question as we think about this morning. What about you? What do you make of the evidence that John saw and believed? What is your explanation for the empty tomb, for the stone rolled away, for the grave clothes left there, for the missing body? Do you believe that Jesus is the risen Jesus, the one who has defeated death, never to die again? John believed on the basis of what he's seen so far. Peter and Mary needed to see more, and they got to see more. But we'll get to that in a moment. Thank you guys for helping us out. Give them a round of applause. Musicians, would you come up for us, please? At Christchurch here, we love to sing a range of songs, some classic hymns like the one that we sung first this morning. We also love to sing lots of new songs. And Gareth is going to teach us a new song this morning about Easter, that day the stone was rolled away. Well, Chloe is going to come up and bring us our next reading, our final reading, as we finish off this part of the story about Jesus' resurrection. Thanks, Chloe.
John 11, chapter 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Chloe. Well, in this final reading, we find Mary back at the tomb, don't we? And she has no idea what is going on. She's crying her eyes out. She's talking to angels who are asking her why she's crying, which must have seemed like a bit of a silly question to her at the time. But then the gardener arrives. At least Mary thinks it's the gardener, doesn't she? But when the gardener says her name, Mary realizes who it really is. Isn't that a beautiful detail? It's when Jesus calls her by name that she finally understands and she finally believes. Well, when Mary finally realized that it was Jesus, she was so pleased she gave him a huge hug. Did you hear that? She must have wanted to never let him go. But Jesus had something amazing to say to Mary. I don't know if you noticed what he said. He said, in effect, "You have to let me go, because I am on my way back to my Father in heaven. Go and tell my disciples that I am alive and that soon I will go back to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Listen carefully to that. Isn't that an incredible statement that Jesus makes to Mary? He says, "I am going back to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Isn't that incredible? What Jesus is saying to Mary on that first Easter Sunday is that those who put their trust in Jesus, those who believe in his death and resurrection, can know that Jesus' Father is their Father. That Jesus' God is their God. Why? Well, because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again that first Easter Sunday so that we could be forgiven for every wrong thing that we have ever done and welcomed into God's family. When we trust in Jesus, when we are forgiven, that is true of us. His Father becomes our Father. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Paddington. If you have, you'll know that it's the story of an orphan bear who is taken in by the Brown family. And in that story, Paddington gets up to all kinds of mischief. He floods the house. He causes chaos of all kinds. But by the end, Mr. Brown welcomes Paddington into the family and he treats him like his very own son in a bear kind of way. We're going to watch a short clip from that film now and see if you can spot the difference that it makes to Paddington to be welcomed into the family.
Oh. Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello.
What's going on?
A lovely surprise. Didn't expect you home so early. Rather special going on in here.
More sugar, please.
Oh, look at this.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, big fella. What's cooking?
Marmalade, Mr. Brown. Go on, have a taste.
Mmm, delicious. Mm.
And just one sandwich contains all the vitamins and minerals a bear needs for the whole day.
So, does that mean I don't have to eat vegetables?
You said bear, not boy.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Thank you, Judy.
Judy. Now, has anyone seen... Ah, thank you, Mrs. Bird.
I think every home should have a marmalade day.
And a bear.
Especially a bear.
Home. Dear Aunt Lucy, I'm sorry I haven't written sooner, but...
Home. That's what Paddington says, isn't it? Home. If you are trusting in Jesus this Easter, he says to you, my Father... and your Father. Isn't that incredible? If you are following Jesus, you have been brought into the family of God. And one day, Jesus will take you to be at home with him forever, with his Father and with your Father. And that doesn't just change a little detail of your life, does it? No, it transforms everything. Who you are, how you feel, your sense of belonging. Because we know that we can call God our Father and his family is our family. What a wonderful thing. But friends, that's what the resurrection does. It shows us for certain that Jesus has finished the job that he came to do, that he has brought us into his family, and that one day we will be at home with him forever. Mary couldn't hold on to Jesus, could she? But then she didn't need to hold on to Jesus, because that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus was on his way back to his throne in heaven. So even when Mary is away from Jesus, and even when we are away from Jesus, we are safe because God is our Father, just as he is his Father. To be a Christian is to have a forever Father who changes our story. He will always be with us. He will always be good. And one day, we will be with him forever at home. And all because of what Jesus did at that first Easter. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Mark and Sarah.